Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
At Psalm 62, church is about Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. And whenever we come to the point where we make it about us instead of Him, then God will quit blessing us. Amen. And may we continually make it about Him. Psalm 62 tonight. Psalm 62. And I look at a few verses here. Psalm 62, all of the pastors that was there said, make sure I told the church thank you. Of course, all of the money for that pastor's retreat, with the exception of $500, came from people within our church. And man, I sure am thankful for that. And they was thankful for it. We had such a good time at it. And man, I don't know if anybody else got any help, but I got help. On Thursday, after the morning session, we eat lunch. And then we went over to, there's a big chapel there at the Cove where we was having the pastor's retreat at. And man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. If you're ever up through Asheville, stop and go over there to see it. And there's a really nice baby grand piano in there. Miss Ginger Whalen got on that piano and started playing that piano in that great big chapel. And me and Brother David Williams and Miss Ginger and Brother Kenny Ball started singing, and then several others. Brother Ramsey and Miss Tanya was in there. And it just broke out in church. And there's an upper room. That's what they call it. There's an upper room in that chapel that's a prayer room. And we got up there. There's a big globe in the floor. Actually, it's down in made down index to the floor. And it reminds you to pray over the world. And we got up there around that and got to pray. And Brother Brad Williams was there with us. Some of y'all remember Brother Brad from years ago being with us. But we got up there and got to pray in the upper room. We made it to the upper room. Kenny Ball absolutely got, y'all remember Brother Kenny Ball, don't you, that preached for us a couple years ago? He absolutely got plugged in praying up there. And I'm telling you, it was as much worship as I've ever been in my life. I'm just being honest with you. And it's just a few of us up there, but boy, I like it when the Lord shows up like that. Amen. You know what the good thing about that is? We wasn't in church. It wasn't anything special that we was doing. Some of us just showed up over there at the same time together and decided to pray, and the Lord showed up. And I'm going to tell you something. I love church. Somebody give me an amen right there. But you don't have to be in the house of God to feel the presence of God. Amen. And I sure am thankful for that. Psalm 62, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. I'll read a few of these verses to you. I'll read this psalm to you. Give you a little thought, and then we'll go home tonight. The Bible said this, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, my rock of, or the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity. and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppressions, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that the power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Look back in verse number 1. The Bible said, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. Look in verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I want to preach on this thought, why we can wait upon God. Why we can wait upon God. Can I tell you something? I'll say it again before I'm done tonight. That is very hard to do. You say, what are you saying? It's very hard waiting upon the Lord. It may just to stop and be still and know that I am God. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd use us for a little while as we preach. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend together. Father, thank you, Lord, for a good number tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Why we can wait upon the Lord. When you come into this Psalms, you'll find that salvation is in God in verse number 2. Expectation from God in verse number 5. There's a foundation on God in verse number 6. There's a supplication to be made to God in verse number 8. And there is a revelation by God in verse number 12. When we begin to think about our life, we'll find that there are times in our life that we are faced with storms. But then also there are times in our life when we are faced with, if we want to say it this way, we are faced with a quote unquote superstorm. In other words, there's times that we have little storms or little valleys or little hardships that we go through. But there are times in our life that we are faced with superstorms, that we are faced with deep, long valleys. We are faced with days of trouble in our life. When we come into this psalm, we'll find that the psalmist is in a place like that. We'll find that the psalmist here is David. And what is going on in David's life is Absalom is rebelling against David. David says to us in this psalm, though, truly, my soul waiteth upon the Lord. Can I say this for those that do not know who Absalom is? It is David's own son. And David is rose up in rebellion, and David is trying to overtake the kingdom. Or Absalom is trying to overtake the kingdom. The Bible said this in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olives and wept as he went up. And had his head covered and went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. David is at a very disturbing and discouraging time in his life at this point. His son Absalom is seeking to forcibly ascend to his throne. At this point, you would think that David may be bitter or questioning God. But it's quite the opposite in David's life right now. David uses this occasion to sing praises unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, nowhere in Psalm 62 will you find David asking God for anything. Matter of fact, nowhere in Psalm 62 will you find that David is even praying to God. In verse number 8, he encourages others to make supplication to God, but David here is simply praising God for being who he is. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. How many times in our life do we find ourselves in a storm and we are not praising God? We find somebody, give me an amen right there. We find ourselves in the storms of this life going to God, asking God for everything. But David is not asking God for anything. David is using this time in his life to praise God for who he is. It is not the storm that makes me who I am. It is the master of the storm that makes me who I am. And David is praising God in the midst of the storm. David says this, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. David could have quite possibly went back into the kingdom and killed Absalom and took the kingdom over. But David did not react upon what he wanted to do. David reacted upon what God wanted him to do. And at that very moment, God was wanting David just to wait on him. You see, when we react upon our own actions, we get ahead of God and we get out of God's will. But may God teach us to do as David is saying, wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord. Now, I need an amen right here. That is hard for us to do. My daddy is not a patient man. At all, Brother Ted, he's not a patient man. And Mama, last Sunday, I called him. I called him every day. I told him my mom and daddy every day. And I called Mom and Daddy, and they didn't answer. So about 3 o'clock last Sunday afternoon, Brother Tim, Mom and Daddy called me back. And I said, hey, what's going on? And Mama said, well, we're just now getting done eating lunch. And I said, well, what a blessing. She said, well, the preacher wanted us to go out and eat with him. And we went out to eat. We got to the restaurant. And whenever we got to the restaurant, we sat at the table for 1 solid hour before they ever even come and took our order. She said, we sat there for an hour. Here's what I said. Man, that's good for Daddy. She said, it's not good for me. Wait. You know what the psalmist is saying? Wait. David says, many are coming against him. They are truly trying to kill him. They saw him as a broken down wall. Their plan was to remove him from his throne. They were telling lies about him. They were two-faced, praising him to his face and speaking evil against him behind his back. There are some who were loyal to King David and others who were going after Absalom and following after Absalom. You remember the story of Ziba came and falsely accused Mephibosheth of turning against him. I want to ask you this question today. When times like this come in our life, what are we to do? We're to wait upon the Lord. What did he say in Psalms 46? He said this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It seems that when we are facing difficulties, there is always someone present to kick us while we are down. Are you with me? Seems like every time the storms of life comes our way, there's always somebody. Listen to this in 2 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 5. I'm headed somewhere. And when King David came to Beruim, behold, thence came a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shemaiah, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shemaiah when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. This is what David's going through when Psalm 62 is written. And still in the midst of all of that, David says, truly, my soul waiteth upon the Lord. There is no way that Shemaiah would have cursed the king when he was on his throne. David had a servant named Abishai who sought vengeance on Shemaiah. But David patiently handled the situation and continued on his journey, even as Shemaiah cast literal stones at him. How could David handle this attack with such grace? How could David continue singing in the storm? How could David do this? Well, I would say this to you tonight. Here's the way that David was able to do this. Here's the way that David was able to wait upon the Lord. Number one, because the Lord was his provider. Because the Lord, can I say it this way? Because the Lord is our provider. What did he say in verse number 1? He said, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Let's put this in perspective. There was a man after God's own heart. David was his name. David was God's chosen man to be the king of Israel. This is the man who was a young boy that slew a great giant. This is the one whom the people of Israel sang praises to. A man walking in the flesh would allow his ego to be intense and his ego to interfere. He may have even had advisors who gave counsel for him to stand his ground. We have some insight as to David's mindset at this point. Listen to what he says in 2 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 10. He's dealing with Shemaiah again. He says, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all of his servants, behold my son, which came forth of my bowels seeking my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone. And let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be the Lord will look on mine afflictions, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. You say, preacher, how was David able to do that? Because he knew that the Lord was his provider. It was not the man that was kicking him while he was down. It was not Absalom that was David's provider. Even though Absalom was his son and part of the people was reverting to Absalom, David knew that his provider was not in Absalom. His provider was not in Shemaiah. His provider was not in anyone else. David knew his provider was in the Lord. Preacher, how can I sit back in the storms of my life and wait on God? Because we know he is our provider. It's him. It's nobody else. It's him. David realized that God was working out his will in the king's life. David realized that in the midst of the storm, God would provide. He said, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. I thought about this. David was waiting with the assurance that the Lord would provide deliverance. He did not know when the deliverance would come, but he did know God would provide. Can I say that to you again? He did not know when the deliverance would come, but he did know that God would provide. You say, preacher, I'm in the storm tonight. When's the deliverance going to come? I don't know. Preacher, I'm having a hard time right now. When's the deliverance going to come? I don't know. But I do know this. God has always, and God always will provide. Now, why can we step back and wait upon the Lord? Because God is our provider. Number two tonight, I'll not be long, because the Lord is our provider. But number two, because the Lord is our protector. Because the Lord is our protector. Look in verse number two. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Look in verse number six. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. That musician's term. That means to stop and think about that. In other words, when they would sing that part, they would stop and ponder on that. Ponder on what? That God is a refuge for us. Oh, yes, He is our provider. But I sure am thankful today that God is our protector. David not only trusted that God would eventually deliver him from his enemies, he trusted that God would protect him in the midst of the attack. Oh, He's our provider tonight. He's not only our provider, but He is our protector. God will fight your battles for you if you will allow Him to. But you know what we do? We don't wait on Him. Amen. When a battle comes up, we immediately jump to action and get ourselves in a mess. Can I say that again? We immediately jump to action and get ourselves in a mess. Well, I've got to fix this. I got to get this straightened out. No, just wait upon the Lord. Why can we wait upon God? Because He is our protector. I've told my wife this. There's been times that there's been false accusations brought against me. There'll be times when there's more false accusations brought against me. You know what, Brother Matt, I've always told her? I've always told her this. I'm not responding. You said, preacher, why are you not responding? Innocent man don't have to respond. When you immediately go on the defense, when you immediately buck up and go on the defense, you know what you're saying? I'm guilty. An innocent man don't have to prove his innocence. His character will always come out. Well, amen goes right there. God is our protector. And when the world comes against us and the enemy comes against us, when we're in the midst of the storms of our life, and you know what? That's when people will attack you. That's when people will question your character and your integrity. I sure am glad that we have a protector. When is the time of faith? Is it on sunshiny days when there is not a cloud in the sky? Is it a time when everything is going exactly right with nothing to mar your outlook? David's answer is that the best time to trust God is in the crisis moments of our life. I would say this, number one tonight, I told you I'm not going to be that long tonight, I'm hungry. Number one tonight, I see that we can wait upon the Lord because the Lord is our provider. We can wait upon the Lord because the Lord is our protector. But I'll show you one thing in closing tonight, one last thing. We can wait upon the Lord because the Lord is the pronouncer of sentencing. The Lord is the pronouncer of sentencing. What did the Bible say in verse number 12? He said, "Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man, watch this, according to his work. According to his work. You know, some New Testament on that. Every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He is the one that pronounces the sentencing. Here's what we want to do. We want to take everything into our own hands and take care of it. But David said, I'm just going to wait upon God and let God deal with the enemy. I'm just going to let God deal with Absalom. I'm just going to let God deal with that outfit that's rose up against the anointed. You know what God does? God does deal with them. David does end up where he's supposed to be at. David ends up back on the throne where he's supposed to be. And God dealt with them. Hear me and hear me well. You don't have to deal with your enemies. God will deal with your enemies. When you step in and try to fix all of it, that's when you're going to make a mess. Why don't we just take our hands off of it and allow God to take care of it? God knows who's doing right and who's doing wrong. And you know what? A lot of times it's right the opposite. A lot of times it's that person you think that's not doing right that sometimes is doing right, and that person that you think's doing right is the one that's not doing right. Somebody give me a witness right there. Are you hearing me tonight? And what we do a lot of times is we want to sit back and judge them and bring a sentencing upon them ourselves. David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to wait upon the Lord. Because God will take care of it. God will take. You listen to what I'm fixing to tell you right here. You listen. I'm not an old man and I'm not a smart man, but I'm old enough and smart enough to know this. The truth will come out. The truth always comes out. My wife and I, we sat down over the past month and have talked numerous times about some things not even related to this church. And I looked at my wife and I told her this. I said, honey, I'm not worrying about it. I said, here's the reason why. The truth will prevail. It always does. The truth will come out. And boy, is it starting to. The truth will come out. You know what David said? David said, I'm just going to take my hands off this thing. He said, I'm not going to run out there and fight Absalom. I'm not going to go in defense of everything. Hey, look, he's got a right to go down there to Shammai and all his family and whoop them. They're literally throwing stones at him. You know what David does? He says, hey, boys, just hold your peace. I wish you'd hear the preacher tonight. Just hold your peace. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be all right. There was another man, come start playing softly if you will. There was another man in the Bible that had stones thrown at him. Over there about Acts chapter number 7. If you remember the story, his name was Stephen. The first martyr in the Bible that we know of in the New Testament. And as those stones was being thrown at him, you know what he done? He looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Only time in the Bible there's a picture of Jesus standing at the right hand of God and not seated at the right hand of God. He's standing at the right hand of God. Let me tell you the reason Stephen could see Jesus standing at the right hand of God is because he knew who the pronouncer of the sentencing was. He knew that there was a day coming that that outfit would stand before God. He wasn't going to stand there and buck up on them and try to cause a big scene. He focused his eyes upon the Lord. Tell the reason David could do what David did. Tell the reason David could wait. It's because David knew that the sentencing would come from God one day. And God would take care of it. When we take things into our own hands and we try to fix things our own self, we make a great big mess a lot of times. Yeah, man. We make a great big mess. You know what? Do y'all know what a knee-jerk reaction is? Anybody know what that is? But Danny, you know what I'm talking about. Don't just a knee-jerk reaction. Something happens, and man, bro, man, we just react to it. I've got myself in more trouble, Brother Doug. I'm getting to preach to people I normally don't get to preach to. I've got myself in more trouble off of a knee-jerk reaction than probably anything else in my life. I'll tell you the reason why, because we're not reacting in the Holy Spirit. David said, just wait. Just said, preacher, how can I wait on God and what I'm going through? How can you not wait on God? Oh, preacher, I've got it figured out. That's the problem. You got it figured out, and you're going to get in a big old mess. David said, I think I'll just wait upon the Lord because he's my provider. He's going to take care of me. He did he not? He took care of David. David, when Saul, I'm about done. When Saul was running after David, David was in that cave, and David could have killed Saul in that cave. And David cut the edge of his garment off. And David repented for even doing that. He repented to God. Why? Because that was his anointed. God had anointed Saul. No matter what Saul was doing, God had anointed Saul. And David repented of even doing that. Are you hearing me? He repented of even... Better be real careful. Any little jab, any little cut you make towards a man of God, you better be real careful. David repented of that. David could have killed him that day, but he didn't. What did God do? God fixed it, did he not? David could have turned on Absalom and took the kingdom, but he waited and God fixed it, did he not? David could have turned on this family in 2 Samuel 16, but he didn't and God fixed it, did he not? Just wait upon the Lord. Just wait on Him. Just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and wait upon the Lord. Why? Because He's our provider. He's our protector. And can I say this? He is the pronouncer of judgment. He will make it right.